Welcome to Proudly Resents. It is our year-end wrap-up show. Very exciting. This is exciting. You can tell by my voice. I'm excited. Can you tell by my voice how excited I am? It is the year-end review. Fantasmic. This is my excited voice. Lots of people called in to say their favorite movie that they saw last year. Not necessarily made last year, but that they saw. And there's some really great eclectic choices. This is our six-month anniversary. It's very exciting. I appreciate everyone who's listened to the show. Thank you, everyone listening, who are writing in. Continue to come in with your suggestions. We'll put those up on the website. So if you get a chance, go to iTunes and say you like the show. It helps us on the rating scale and gets more listeners to find out about it, unless you want to keep it exclusive to you. If you have a comment about the comments on today's show, call our comment line, or you want to talk about your own favorite film. Anyway, thank you so much. Keep listening. We're changing the show up. Tell me what you think. Love to hear from you. Thanks for everything. And this is Adam Spiegelman.
Hi, I am Mike.
And I am John.
We're the host of the Film Jitsu podcast, the podcast that wields film like deadly weapons. I think our favorite bad movie of the year, John, would have to be Piranha 3D.
Now, how can you argue with that? The movie was just insane.
There were a lot of bad movies that made it big this year. I think we're probably going to hear a lot about The Room and, you know, those kind of things that are really becoming popular this year. But for us, there was a 3D wiener.
There was. And way more 3D boobs than have ever been put on a screen before.
They made a movie where they managed to combine 3D boobs, 3D piranhas, and Christopher Lloyd basically playing Doc Brown.
That sums it up right there. It was fantastically awful, and I loved every second of it.
It was just mayhem, like complete and utter mayhem. People were getting eaten in half. There were faces getting bit off.
Yeah, Eli Roth's head exploded.
And thank God for that. I think when you consider what this movie really was, the fact that it made it to the theaters and people went to see it at $14, $15 a pop for 3D, it's incredible.
That is an accomplishment that few can claim to have done.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think in terms of bad movies, for me this year, it couldn't get any better than Piranha in 3D. All three dimensions, two of which were blood and boobs.
Absolutely. We watch a lot of bad movies on the Film Jitsu podcast, but this by far takes the cake for this year.
Hey, Proudly Resents. How are you, Adam? It's your brother, Mike Spiegelman of LuggageTuesdays.com. I want to thank HBO for introducing me to a lot of crappy movies this year. First and foremost, Away We Go, about a young hipster couple visiting their friends to see where they're going to raise their child. Co-written by Dave Eggers and co-starring that guy from The Office you want to punch. And it's basically about people you want to punch. It's probably the worst thing I've seen in a long while. Also on HBO, I saw Gentlemen Broncos, the third movie from the guy who directed Napoleon Dynamite, about a boy who writes crappy science fiction and someone steals his ideas. Way head way up the ass, completely detached, recommended. Third movie from the guy who directed Donnie Darko is called The Box. It's based on the lousy 1970 Playboy science fiction story and also based on the crappy 80s Twilight Zone episode. It goes off the rails when the wife of the alien offers the hero three doorways to go through, and it has nothing to do with anything. But I do recommend that. I don't recommend anything from Ricky Gervais, especially The Invention of Lying. That was really hard to sit through. I don't know why he gets all that stuff. But anyway, from what I saw this year, I do recommend Jonah Hex. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's like a one-long video game cutscene. It's fascinating, and it's so detached that if you blink, you lose interest. So you got to keep your eyes on the screen at all time. Thanks, bye.
Spiegelman. It's Lowenthal. You know I have far too many movies to talk about, but I've whittled it down to one based on that it's a bad movie that I loved. It reminded me of the previous year's similar situation when I saw Bad Lieutenant, Porter Call, New Orleans, and I had a moment in the middle of the film where I had two thoughts. The first thought being, I don't think this is a good movie. And the second thought being, but I hope it never, ever ends. And I had a similar experience this year with the movie The Warrior's Way. a Korean masterpiece that, which may be ready to dethrone D-War, Dragon Wars, although, I don't know, it's a hell of a thing. Anyway, it's the movie that only some mad, you know, Korean person could have put together. This could never have been an American film. It has so many different things in it that we would never allow in the same movie at the same time. It had the ancient warrior, samurai, ninja people, and it was a Western, and it was carnies, and it was a giant Ferris wheel, and it was completely ridiculous. And yet in retrospect, I would have paid money to go see it in the theater for any little bit of that. And yet it crammed it all into one, which made it, on one hand, just terrible. But on the other hand, I wish it had never ended. There are too many scenes to talk about, but Danny Houston as a villain and carnies dying in the sand, gouting blood, and you gotta see it. On a side note, a movie that didn't come out this year, that is my favorite not movie that didn't come out this year that I saw a bad movie, was Stunt Rock. I think you were there for that, so if you want to comment on that, you can. Shit, I'm over too.
Hello?
Hi, I'm calling in reference to favorite bad movies. This is Riz. I think the big event of the year, of course, was the unfortunate closing of the Video Vault in Old Town Alexandria, which was the home of cult and bad movies. I can't believe the place is gone. In the last couple days, I went and bought a few choice VHS films. My favorite probably being Sweet Trash, a movie I accidentally ran into a few years ago when I meant to rent Street Trash and got Sweet Trash instead, which is an unbelievable film about a vice squad cop in San Francisco who tries to save a teenage girl, but it's pretty murky. So the other film that just recently got a re-release that was also Video Vault favorite is something called Psychedelic Fever, also known as Like It Is, which is supposed to be a documentary in San Francisco, filmed in 68. A lot of interesting shots on the street. But the director was also apparently like a softcore expert, and most of the film is nothing but shots of dancers, naked dancers, piled on top of each other with strange psychedelic effects. And the new release has restored the quality of the color and the special effects with, you know, all these, and very cheesy. It's definitely a tremendous prequel to 2001 Space Odyssey. Anyway, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Proudly Resents. This is Adam Felber calling you, calling in from my cellular telephone. I'm on the highway near my Malibu home. I just wanted to call in and talk about what was, without a doubt, my favorite bad movie of the year. I believe it was a 2009 release that came out on your digital versatile disc format this year, and that would be Old Dog, starring John Travolta and Robin Williams. And I'm guessing that when this podcast is played, it's going to be pretty unanimous. Everybody's just going to be talking about Old Dogs, but there's a lot to love in it. If you do like the bad movies, if you do love the bad movies, this one is astoundingly bad. I urge you to listen to the podcast where me and Adam Spiegelman dissected it, but a couple things you need to know. Robin Williams is in blackface, or what would I call it, orange face, with a tan gone wrong. Travolta and Williams, because they are old, accidentally take each other's prescription drugs to wacky effect, that and really creepy effect. The final frame of the movie is worth waiting for that very reason. And you have a bravura performance by Seth Green, who's genuinely doing his best. He's got everything you'd want in a bad movie. Bad directing, a plot that makes no sense, a summer camp scene, dog piss joke. You got everything you'd ever... Wait, oh, I'm being coached by Adam here in my car. What do you got, Speaks?
No.
What do you got?
I'm driving.
You're blowing the illusion. What, are you driving in the car next to me?
I gotta go.
All right.
Go.
Well, once again, Old Dogs, Adam Felber's pick for the year 2010 that was.
Look out!
This is FM, and I'm calling to you. Say my favorite bad movie of 2010 was definitely Viva Knievel, the Evel Knievel movie. Not a movie about Evel Knievel, but a movie starring Evel Knievel and Leslie Nielsen as the bad guy. And I have to say it was among some of the most insane directing, writing, performances by Knievel himself. It was bordering on absurd and ridiculous and just completely, completely off the wall, insane and crazy. It is perfect in every way, misguided to an extreme. Viva Knievel is my vote for best film, bad movie that I saw last year.
Hey, Adam, it's Kent. I sent you that email today, and you said to call. You said, "Can you call the hotline and say it into the phone? I can use that as an MP3." And then I originally thought no, because I'm really bad at that stuff like that. But and then I thought, well, maybe if I do it later tonight, I won't rehearse it. I'll just forget about it and then read it. Which is basically what you asked for. Anyway, sorry, this is going to be long. But also I'm a little high. But all right, here it goes. This is the email I wrote you. You can just use this part. That's fine. I watched Grown Ups the other night, so enjoyingly bad. One of my favorite aspects is how the characters are constantly making fun of each other, because that's what friends do. And every time someone makes a joke, there's at least two reaction shots of other characters chuckling or guffawing. Sometimes three. This happens throughout the entire movie, over and over. Once I noticed it, it was hilarious to watch. See, this just doesn't make any sense. Once I noticed it, it was hilarious to keep noticing it. You know what I mean? When you go, oh, that guy has a funny voice, and then every time he talks, it's hilarious. Okay. Back to the email. I think someone should do a supercut of just the shots where the characters are laughing. There's so much laughing! Also, there's a big game at the end, and spoiler alert, Adam Sandler lets the other team win because he's a wealthy Hollywood agent with a nice life, and the other team is a bunch of uneducated townies with American flags on their shirts. And Adam Sandler feels bad for them. So he misses a final basket by inches, and later his wife says, "Hey, you never miss that shot." Just in case anyone's confused. I put that in parentheses. What a great guy. Now I just feel bad. It is a nice thing. If that happened in real life, he'd be a nice guy. Also, there are some genuine funny moments, and they all include Steve Buscemi, the guy from Boardwalk Empire. And then I wrote, Grown-Ups! All right, well, that was terrible and way longer than 2 minutes. So, but whatever. I'm not going to hang up and do it again. Because that's a slippery slope.
We're in San Francisco. We're in the Dark Room Theater on Mission Street, where they do a weekly bad movie night. And we have the producer and curator of that, Charlene Connolly.
Hey, that's me.
And one of the star Mike people, and also my brother, Mike Spiegelman.
Nepotism. Hey, Adam, what's up, bro?
A little nepotism.
Nepotism.
You know, you talk about bad movies that are so bad they're good. Mm-hmm. There's also some movies that are so bad they're bad that they're bad.
Oh, you mean
bad movies.
Like Eight Crazy Nights.
Like Eight Crazy Nights.
For example.
You guys hate Eight Crazy Nights and will not stop bringing it up.
Oh,
Let's talk about
Eight Crazy Nights. Adam Sandler's.
It's an Adam Sandler animated film. It's like, I guess, the Hanukkah movie for...
for us Jews who never asked for
a
Hanukkah
movie. That's the premise. That here's the singer of the novelty Hanukkah song.
Which is very funny. Do you find the song funny?
I love that
Sherilyn.
Song.
I'm a great fan. I'm a great fan of Adam Sandler's first few records. From which the Hanukkah song...
Well,
I guess it was on Saturday Night Live originally, but I like the version on, like, you know, What the Hell Happened to
Me. Well, if you're a fan of Adam Sandler's comedy records, then here's an animated film where he does an old man, an old woman, and all these other voices.
All his great characters, all his great voices. What
could go wrong? And
the podcast is played. It's going to be pretty unanimous. Everybody's just going to be talking about old dogs, but...
But that's where it goes seriously wrong. So, Eight Crazy Nights, that's coded for Hanukkah, right? And it's so much crass commercialization in it, especially a signature piece.
Real quick, Eight Crazy Nights, Mike, you always talk about this commercialization scene in a mall.
There's a local town and there's a mall. And by local town, the mall has every single chain that's in across the world. So there's Victoria's Secret, there's GNC. And at one point, the character, the Adam Sandler character, stumbles in drunk. He's spent the whole night drinking. And he comes in and he's angry at the world. And the corporate logos, the Foot Locker guy, come spring to life.
Yeah, Chess King, Victoria's Secret.
And not only do they sing a song, but all the corporate icons are voiced by celebrity actors, whether it's Tyra Banks for Victoria's Secret.
Carl Weathers is in there somewhere.
I think it's GNC.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like Carl Weathers is in
there. So they come alive, and you feel like they just probably paid to be... There's a Panda Express.
Yeah, Panda Express.
Yeah,
Panda
it's
sings.
The most... Not even seamless. It's the most seamy product placement
and for
ever
a Jewish
in a movie
film,
ever.
For a film that's an alternative to the crass commercialization of Christmas for Jews, it just shoves these shopping mall things down your throat. And it's just like, first off, Jews aren't like that. And second of all, I'm trying to escape.
Wow, says you.
Well, that's because I don't give you anything.
Let's be honest.
Hey, this is Matt Swanson. Just calling to give you my take on best bad movie of the year. Certainly didn't come out this year, but it was viewed this year by my eyeballs, which will never, ever forget it. Easily my favorite bad movie of the year is the classic 1983 from Luigi Cozzi, Hercules, starring Lou Ferrigno, dubbed over into actual English by someone who is definitely not Lou Ferrigno. It's just epic badness. He fights miniature, small-scale, mechanical things. No real understanding why they're mechanical, but because it makes it that much better, that would be my guess. Although I will say that my goal in the future is to read back into Lou Ferrigno's actual speaking voice and then put that on Funny or Die or something, because I think it'd be way funnier if instead of, you know, mother, father, you're in danger, which is what it sounded like he was saying, you know, mother, father, you're in danger. Politically incorrect, maybe, but way funnier. Yeah, there's also a sequel that they did that I believe they filmed at the same time or just shortly thereafter. But I can't remember the exact name. It's like Hercules Saves the Day or Herculi or some, you know, some cheesy, fantastic sequel. But that definitely gave me the most viewing pleasure of the year. If you have not seen it, you really, really should. Because it's just terrible. All right, doing a good year. I'm in. Bye.
Hey, this is Eric Siska from the We Hate Movies podcast. Just calling in to say that the worst movie I saw of 2010 was that year's release, Remember Me. That's the Robert Pattinson movie. And Pierce Brosnan plays his father, and he tries to do a New York accent. It's pretty hilariously awful. And the great thing about this movie, and I'm going to have to spoil it in order to talk about any of it, is that it starts out with him as a kid, and it's like 1991 or something, and it goes like 10 years later. And then towards the end of the film, after all the, you know, melodrama, romance stuff's out of the way, he goes to his father's office for advice, Robert Pattinson, and he goes up in the elevator, and, oh, his father calls. He's like, oh, he's not there right now. And guess what day it is? It is September 11th, 2001. Robert Pattinson, in that movie, that crap movie, dies in 9/11. It's just downright insulting. Anyway, you guys do a good show, and our show is We Hate Movies. You can find us on iTunes and wehatemovies.blogspot.com. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone from the Long Shot Podcast. My favorite movie is, I would have to say it's Angels in the Outfield.
Hey there, Adam and Proudly Resents. This is John Mathot from Horrible Movie Night, the live riffing movie riffing show in Los Angeles. calling to say that our worst movie of 2010 was an old movie from 1985 called Alien Warrior, in Canada, also known as King of the Streets, about Jesus' brother coming to Earth to finish the job that Jesus didn't do right. This is from the film, not my personal opinion here. He decides to do this by coming to L.A.'s Skid Row and teaching a street gang kung fu and beating back some drug dealers and helping empower a woman who volunteers at a reading center. It's very strange, very bizarre, one of the worst, weirdest, most awesome movies we've ever seen. Check us out at HorribleMovieNight.com and come see our shows monthly in Hollywood. And Proudly Resents rules. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Proudly Resents. Make a comment or suggest a film at reachadam@mac.com. That's reachadam@mac.com or on our comment line. You ready? Get a pencil. I'll wait. Okay? Got one? Okay. To call 646-481-5476. That's our comment line. 646-481-5476. Keep it clean and short. We might air it. Twitter is @ReachAdam. Join us on Facebook or be old school and go to our website, ProudlyResents.com. If you like the show, put the episode up on your Twitter, Facebook, StumbleUpon, Dig, you know, all those things. Tell a friend. I'm Eddie Pepitone, and my Twitter account is at Eddie Pepitone.